I'm going to go through a very simplified version of the steps or the process involved in lymphocyte activation for antibody-mediated immunity. And this is a complicated process, and again, this is going to be sort of a simplified version. Step A has to do with the antigen or pathogen being encountered by one of the phagocytes, and the phagocytes that could be involved here would most likely be neutrophils, but they can also be eosinophils or macrophages. And these white blood cells take some of the pathogen's antigens that are on the surface of the pathogen and attach them to their own surface. And they add them to the antigens that are on their own surface. And I want to point out something. The major histocompatibility profile is what that is it's all of the antigens that are on the surface of an individual's cells. And so you've probably heard of a situation where you can't just transfer an organ, for example, from one person to another. They have to be a good match. And what they're trying to match in those cases, it's not just blood type, which of course has to do with antigens on the red blood cells, but it's also the antigens that are present on all the other cells in the body. And each individual person has their own individual constitution or constellation of these proteins and these glycoproteins that identify their organs and their tissues as belonging to them. And it allows the immune system to recognize those organs and those tissues as belonging to that person, belonging to self, so that they don't go ahead and attack those tissues and those organs. And so that's the major histocompatibility complex. And again, it's unique to each person, but there are different, you know, closely related people will share more antigens in common. And so in the case of transplants, you want to get a transplant from somebody who has a very similar histocompatibility complex as your own. And so anyways, the phagocytes are going to attach some of the antigens from the pathogen that they've just devoured to their own surfaces and add it to their their histocompatibility or their antigens that are present on their own surface. The next step is that the macrophage or the other phagocyte presents these processed antigens to a helper T cell. So they have to encounter a helper T cell who will detect that these antigens are present. And once the macrophage and the helper T cell are in each other's presence and the helper T cell is analyzing the antigens, the macrophage will secrete a chemical called interleukin-1. And that chemical will stimulate the helper T cell to secrete a second chemical called interleukin-2. And so it's the macrophage that's going to secrete interleukin-1, and it's the T cell that's going to secrete interleukin-2. And these chemicals act very much like hormones. What they do is they travel through the bloodstream, and they cause the helper T cells to divide, especially interleukin-1. Interleukin-2 is going to stimulate the helper T cells to divide and produce more helper T cells plus memory T cells. And these helper T cells, these clones of helper T cells, are going to go out and seek out B cells. And that brings us to step 3. In step 3, the macrophage and the helper T cell are going to present the antigen to a B cell. And the helper T cell secretes interleukin-2, which stimulates the B cell to divide and become what are called plasma cells. And some of these plasma cells are going to begin to produce antibodies. And some of these plasma cells are going to turn into memory cells. And the memory cells will store the memory of how the antibody is made against this particular pathogen. Now, the thing about the plasma cells producing the antibodies is that the process takes up to 2 weeks after the first exposure to a pathogen. So it's not an immediate reaction. And so this is why, for example, the first time you're exposed to something like chickenpox, your immune system does not produce antibodies right away. It takes a while. It takes between 7 and 14, well, probably between 4 and 14 days. And unfortunately, during that lag time, you get to experience the symptoms of the disease. And in the case of some diseases like Ebola virus or some of the more deadly viruses that are around, that time period, that lag period, is long enough for the patient, unfortunately, to very frequently die from the disease before the immune system gets a chance to make antibodies. And this is why the memory cells are so important, because when the memory cells are present, so after a second, third, fourth, or fifth exposure, the body can make those antibodies very quickly, often within 12 hours or so, and quickly wipe out the pathogen before it actually has an opportunity to make the person sick.